Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. People come to church on Sunday mornings for different reasons. Some out of a sense of obligation. Some to be entertained. Some for a spiritual experience of some kind. Some to learn how to improve their lives. Some simply to be seen going to church. Others come for better reasons. To hear the Word of God. To honor Him. To pray, praise, and give thanks. To seek help from God. To receive the forgiveness of sins in the absolution of His gospel and in the sacrament of His body and blood. To encourage their fellow Christians. Those are all good reasons for coming to church. But regardless of why you came, now that you're here, God has a reason for you to be here. He wants to work on you. That implies, of course, that you're not yet what you should be. That you need work. That you need His help. And right away, hearing that, your flesh doesn't like it. Your flesh doesn't want to be changed or improved or worked on. Your flesh is content to remain as is, so that you leave today no stronger, no different, no better. Different in no way, because your flesh knows that when God works on people, it's going to be painful for the flesh in some way, even fatal for your flesh. But God insists. He insists on forming you or reforming you, building you into a stronger believer. We see God building the faith of the nobleman in today's gospel right before our eyes as we watch. And as we watch, He does the same for us. We see the noblemen of Galilee seek out Jesus. This is still early in Jesus' ministry. He had been in Cana of Galilee once, where He performed His very first miracle, changing water into wine. Then He had gone down into Judea and Jerusalem to preach and teach there, where He had done many great signs and wonders, especially healing the sick. But the people in Jerusalem, for the most part, didn't accept Jesus, didn't receive Him. They didn't want to be changed. So John tells us that He left Judea and Jerusalem, the heart of the nation of Israel, and went back up to Galilee, where the people still did receive Him, at least for now. He came to Galilee, and this nobleman there in Capernaum in Galilee heard that Jesus was nearby in the city of Cana, and so he sought Him out because his son was sick. His son was at the point of death. And he had heard this word about Jesus going around, two things in particular, that Jesus was powerful to heal, sent by God, and that Jesus was merciful and kind. So he sought Him out and asked for help, begged for help for his dying son. The reaction that anyone would want from Jesus at that moment would be for Jesus to say, "Well, yes, of course, I'll come down to your house with you. Yes, of course, I'll heal your son." But that's not at all what the nobleman got. "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Jesus was seeking more than for people to believe that He would do a sign for them. He was seeking faith in Him as the Son of God and as the Savior from sin. But there was a problem, not just with the nobleman, but with the people in general. Jesus says, "You people, you need to see signs and wonders or you'll never believe." All the Jews were in danger, either of rejecting Jesus entirely, as they were doing down south in Judea, or of looking to him mainly as a miracle worker rather than as the Savior from sin, death, and the devil. So he warns them, faith that is rooted in signs that you can see is not good enough. Did your parents ever tell you when you were little that you shouldn't drink coffee because drinking coffee would stunt your growth? That they were still saying things like that when I was little. Now, I don't think that's probably true, but there is something that will stunt the growth of your faith. Too much seeing. Too much human reason. Too much logic. Too much looking to Jesus to miraculously deal with your earthly problems and then believing in him when you see what he's done. Those things will stunt the growth of your faith, and if that happens, then faith will eventually fail and become useless for you on the day when you really need it. The nobleman wasn't quite ready to learn that lesson from Jesus in the gospel. He wasn't interested in being built into a stronger believer at this point. He had a pressing earthly problem. So he begged again, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He still insists that Jesus come over to his house so that he's finally in the right place to be able to do something to help, to perform a miracle. Well, what's the problem with that? The problem is that if Jesus is truly sent from God, if Jesus is truly the Savior that he claims to be, then why does he have to come over to your house in order to help? If God is able to speak a word and bring the entire universe into existence, isn't he perfectly capable of healing an illness in the same way? And that's just what Jesus does. "Go your way, your son lives." Jesus gave him what he wanted, but not in the visible way that he wanted it. He forced him to settle for a word, for a promise, without being able to see anything yet. The seeing would come later. It would eventually be there. But first, faith had to work. Reason and logic and sight had to take a step backwards. Sight had to be turned off. And faith, even you might call it blind faith in this case, had to be exercised. But how? By the power of the Holy Spirit working through Jesus' word. This is what even too many Christians fail to grasp. Faith is not the product of logic, reason, and sight. Faith is not the product of a choice that you might make. Faith is the product of hearing the word of Christ, the Holy Spirit working through hearing. The word itself has the power to create faith. And it did. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. See how, even as we watch, Jesus built him into a stronger believer. When he first came, he was panicking because of his son. He was fearful of what would happen to his son. He trusted that Jesus could help, but only if he could see him helping in person. But now, after this word of Jesus, he isn't afraid anymore. He's full of hope. Now he doesn't need to see anything. His faith relies on Jesus' promise. He goes home expecting to see his son alive, simply because Jesus said that he would be. Then, when he hears along the way that his son got better the very moment Jesus spoke those words. And when he gets home and sees his son alive and well, it says that he himself believed, and his whole household. Believed what? Now, it was no longer a matter of faith to believe that his son was healed. That had become a matter of sight for the whole family, for the whole household. The believing was a stronger faith in Jesus himself and in his word, as always and utterly reliable. That's the kind of faith God insists on building in his Christians. He's never content with a little faith, even though a little faith can move mountains, even though a little faith will save you on the last day. God is not content for you to go through your life and remain with, well, whatever I have now is fine. He insists on building you into a person, into the image of his son, in fact. You'll need that kind of faith, a stronger, firmer, word-based faith, for the fight that's ahead of you. Because it's not a fight in which you can see your enemies at all. As St. Paul reminds us in the epistle today that you heard, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We wrestle against the devil and his dark forces that we can't see. And the only way to fight, the only way to stand, is with a faith that has been created and nurtured and built by the Word of God. With such a faith, Paul says, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And nowhere is such faith needed as much as it is on the day of death, where you see no angels waiting to carry your soul to heaven. You see no Christ crucified standing before your eyes. You don't see the pearly gates opening wide to receive you. All you see is your body failing. And all we see when we see a loved one die is the grave standing open. If your faith is founded on reason, logic, and sight, then it will surely falter on that day. But if your faith has been nourished and built by the Word of Christ, you will stand. And the words of our first lesson today will be the ones that ring in your ears as God's promise of ransom and redemption from death. For his dear believers, as he even mocks death and the grave, O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. The Lord God has brought you to faith by the word of his gospel. He has received you as sons in his kingdom through holy baptism. Now the Lord would build you up today into stronger and stronger believers. May his good spirit keep working on you throughout the day and throughout the week as you meditate on the word you've heard today. And may you continue to cling to the word you have heard in the face of every danger, in the face of every hardship, in the face of the devil and all the dark forces of the world, and even in the face of death, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.